All right. So we're at Tobii headquarters in Stockholm, Sweden. Mm-hmm. Yep. Who are you? What's going on?
I'm John Elvisjö. Uh-huh. It's actually pronounced Elvisjö in Swedish, but I know that's a little bit difficult for you. I'm the executive vice president of Tobii.
Okay.
I was one of the founders. So I've been in the company since the very beginning in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Now working with business development and corporate issues, the expansion plan and all that.
Okay.
Try to help out a little bit on the development side still. But yeah, it gets more and more difficult for me to keep up with the guys.
Understood.
Yeah.
One of which is over here.
Yeah, and I'm Aaron, senior software developer, I can say. Been working here for 1.5 years, mainly with a team called Interaction Applications, which works with controlling computers with eye gaze.
Excellent.
And my name is Marcus Cederlund in Sweden. I work as a development manager for the Interaction Application team.
Okay.
So we developed the MyTobii software that we will show you a little bit later on.
Excellent.
And I'm also project manager for some of the projects we run here.
Cool.
And I also try to collect different requirements for our products.
Cool. And then you keep the developers happy, right?
Yeah. Try to.
Very good. So let's talk a little bit about what your company does and you know, some of your flagship products.
Right. Tobii is all about our eye tracking sensor.
Hmm.
It's an optical sensor that actually measures the gaze point of a human being without any infringements or intrusiveness to the person's, so to say, experience.
Okay.
So basically, we have a remote sensor that we can hide in a computer, a TFT monitor, or in any other kind of device, and that our little sensor will monitor in high frequency the gaze point of the user in front of the device. And that's really not good for anyone if you don't have an application around it. So what we also try to do is to have a software application, a hardware system product that uses our sensor to create some kind of value for a customer.
Sure.
One of them being people with severe disabilities, of course. Just using your gaze to point and click is very, very useful. If you have no good way to operate a joystick or a mouse or a keyboard, say you have cerebral palsy or MS or any other kind of diagnosis such as those, you will be very limited in your way of using a physical input device such as a mouse. Then you can use just your gaze point. Just look and click.
Interesting.
Yeah. So our products, basically, it's our sensor, which is one of the core competences in the company.
Mm-hmm.
It's built into a product like a rugged PC, for instance, which is made by another development group here at the company. And then on that PC, we run a bunch of different softwares developed by Aaron and Marcus and his group. Lets you send emails, browse the net, and do stuff like that.
Outstanding. So, all with just using your eyes.
Just using your eyes, yeah. If you want, you can use the technology in combination with other technologies, like speech, for instance, or physical switch, or using other input methods as well, being multimodal. But most just use just the gaze today.
Interesting.
So one of our key markets is systems for accessibility for people with severe disabilities. But it's also used, I know that Microsoft is one of our customers.
Cool.
Which is kind of interesting because they're, you know, it's not the disabled employees at Microsoft that use our technology, it's actually the usability groups. So we have other products that use the same sensor, the same core technology, but another software, an analytical software, and built into other kinds of screens. That lets you try a software or a web page or a banner placement or the banner design and see the effectiveness and the ease of use of you know, your software or your web page.
Interesting.
So it's basically placed in most of the usability labs around the world. That's the same technology, and it's all from Toby.
Cool. So let's talk a little bit how it works. So, I mean, it's infrared light that's being shot into eyeballs.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when you take a photo and you have a flashlight. Sometimes you get red eyes on the photos.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically the same principle, that you use infrared lights to create reflections on your cornea.
Mm.
So it uses that to calculate where you're looking.
Interesting. And then, so, I mean, we have drivers that are running along with the hardware that your software then communicates with.
Yeah. Our assistive technology applications, they run on Windows, mm-hmm. but they communicate with the hardware through TCP/IP. So there are actually two kinds of different eye trackers. One, we have embedded software on it which do the calculations where you're looking. And on the assistive technology market one, the calculation of the algorithms are actually done on Windows.
Really interesting. And then you get, I look at my eyes and it's basically you're processing data, positioning of these two things.
What we do then is to build applications based on that data. The MyTobi application that we have developed for the disabled market, it's actually three different kind of pieces in that application. For the first thing, we have an application pack, as John talked about. We have implemented our own eye-controlled web browser. We have implemented a chat application that you can communicate with through your eyes. We have implemented email and SMS functionality and stuff like that. So that is one part of the application. The other part is the desktop functionality, so that you as a user can switch between different kind of eye controlled applications. There you also have a control panel, so you can change different kind of settings so that this solution works for you. And then in the bottom we have the software platform we have developed with an eye tracker engine in the bottom that grabs this real-time data information with your gaze points. And based on that, we do all this cool stuff.
Outstanding.
I would actually say that there's another part to the application that lets you control a mouse pointer in Windows.
Okay.
So you can actually control Windows applications also, not just use our desktop.
Outstanding.
Another part of this software platform is the SDK that we have developed so that other software vendors can build their own eye control applications and run both on the MyTobi platform, but we also develop SDKs so that OEM customers can develop their eye-controlled solutions.
And their own hardware, right? Their own monitors, what you're saying. Right?
Yeah, whatever they would like to use our technology for.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So now you guys implemented this in Microsoft's flavor of managed code on the .NET framework.
That's right.
How's that experience be? First of all, I'd ask, why did you choose to do that? And secondly, what's the experience like? You know, and what languages did you write in? C#, I'd imagine, like everybody else?
Yeah, C#. We had to write it on we had to make it work on Windows because there's people want to run Microsoft applications like Office.
Sure.
One thing is that we had to do it, but also because it was very easy to use the .NET platform.
Mm-hmm.
Before I started here, I hadn't done any Windows programming.
Really?
But I've only been here for 1.5 years, and I mean, it took me maybe a couple of weeks to get started. So, I mean,
excellent.
Ease of use is really a good thing. I mean, the .NET libraries are really extensive and easy to use.
Mm.
So we had to use it because people want to run Windows applications, but also because it was really easy to get started with.
Outstanding.
And of course, we have had some problems with Visual Studio there have been bugs, but I mean, the tools are just so good anyway that you can live with them.
Cool, and we just released 2008.
So yeah, exactly.
It'll be the experience of going from 2005 to 2008. Yeah. See if it works.
Yeah.
Should.
Yeah, it should. We hope it will.
Oh, better.
Yeah.
But I'm, it will.
Yeah.
Very interesting. You so let's talk a little bit about the architecture of this application, right? Mm-hmm. So you have the low-level system components that interoperate with the hardware, and then you have the further stuff in sort of your user mode.
Yeah.
That's going to be all managed code.
Yeah.
So you have some amount of unmanaged code in this application, I would imagine.
Yeah.
At some point in the system.
And actually, in our application, there isn't any. But on the software that's calculating the where you're looking,
mm-hmm.
That's of course done in C++ for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Speed is one.
But
the rest is actually not. It's basically everything is managed.
We used
interop, of course. Some Win32 APIs, but that's it's so easy. So it's for me, it's managed code anyway.
Yeah. P-invoke.
Yeah.
Right?
P-invoke. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
P-invoke.
And then the guard. Very good stuff.
Yeah. At the beginning, we also use some DirectX for the input stuff in C++, but then we found the managed libraries.
Cool.
Which we're using now. So.
And then you're also going to be playing around with WPF in the
future. For our new for our prototype software and for our new things. That's something we will look into. We don't have any really hardcore graphics programmers here, so it's really easy for us to get started with WPF. It's always fun to learn something new, so it's
very cool. And we have good tools, for the designers interoperating with the developers.
Yeah, we love Blend. It's really nice.
Very cool.
There's another comment about why we choose Microsoft as a platform.
Sure.
We have implemented our own media player and our own web browser, as I told you before. Doing that was really easy because we could just grab those components from the Microsoft platform. They were there, and we could easily just grab them and encapsulate them into our own software.
Outstanding.
So it means that it's quick to implement those kind of applications since the components are already there.
Sure. So, that's just the browser control and then the media player DLLs and various other things. Very cool. So it's good that we embed these things into our OS, right?
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Yeah,
leave us alone, EU. There's a reason why we have shared components on the system. There's one of them.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But
as long as you share them.
Yeah, exactly. That's the key.
Yeah.
So you guys have a pretty big customer base? How's it?
I must say. I just have had some reporters from the Swedish television here. And they were here because of the Fast 500. I don't know if you know it. It's Deloitte, the big global accounting agency. They do a survey every year finding the fastest growing technology companies. And in the European, Middle East, and Africa region, Tobii was the 8th fastest growing tech company.
Nice.
Over the last 5 years, actually. So we've grown with 11,250%. So the company's growing. Yeah,
in 5 years.
Are you publicly held?
We're privately held.
Oh, okay.
Are we going public? I would imagine the stock value would have gone up just as much or more. So it's been a good stock, sure. Will it be public anytime in the future? Maybe we'll see. It's not an unlikely future for a company like Tobii, but everything has been growing extremely fast for the company. And today we're 100 employees with Stockholm headquarters and offices in the U.S., Germany, and Norway.
Nice.
And customer base, it's growing just as quickly. or maybe even faster, actually. We're just reacting to the customer response.
Sure.
And it worth mentioning also is that today our technology is sold to very, very small niche markets, kind of. Severe disabilities is maybe not the end of the technology. It's pointing with your gaze is the fastest way of pointing.
Sure.
Interacting with an OS such as Vista, for instance, you could easily do that with your gaze point, just looking at the folder and confirming your click with your keyboard. You have anyway a keyboard in front of you. You can just click on a button on the keyboard to do your mouse click.
Sure.
And then do that at your gaze point, right? And that would give you a lot of other benefits, such as being able to automatically scroll when you're reading at the bottom of a browser or a Word document.
That would
say,
be fantastic.
Just scrolls up automatically. Will always know what you've seen. If you've seen the information bubbles from, I don't know, you still have Vista and have an XP. You know, if you read it, we know you read it. We know what you've seen. We can take it away. You know, we can actually confirm that you read the agreement. You know, when you install a software, you always have to read that agreement and just click yes, and then you never read it, kind of thing. Yeah, we can see if you read it.
True. Well, I've installed a few things, and what they're doing now is they're just basically saying, if the scroll bar isn't at the bottom, tell them to go read it again.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, basically, it would be hard to fake it.
Yeah.
I guess just using your eyes.
What we could do is that we could let you open an email that you already read, and we can show you what you read.
That would be fantastic.
And we can, you know, there's a lot of what we call passive interaction, like a lot of assistive functionality that you can get just from knowing exactly what has a person seen and when, and just being able to point and click at things.
So, absolutely.
And just with, you know, the repetitive strain injuries being a pretty significant part of, you know, the work-related injuries today, you know, the mouse and keyboard is a fairly old way of inputting information. It's, you know, a fairly small bandwidth and that kind of, you know, just typing and pointing with the mouse. So we definitely believe that using eyes and gaze point as a primary means of interacting with a PC will be the way in future. So
absolutely.
And also, especially with that, you know, the, what you call it, the touchpad, and that little stick thing that you have on notebooks. It's terrible.
It is.
Yeah. So
now, the thing is also with eyes, the system could learn about your behaviors and sort of self-modify itself such that the next time I start my system, it'll know what I normally do or how I look at the system or how I... It's really interesting in terms of machine learning what can be applied to this technique.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure people in research are playing around with this.
Yeah, adaptive interfaces. Yeah, there's a lot.
Lots, yeah.
Very cool stuff.
Yeah.
And if you have any more ideas, just come to us.
That's really good stuff. So why don't we quickly, let's actually take a look at this. And then maybe while we're looking at it and playing with it, we can talk about what it's doing.
Yeah.
But I think it would be fun to see this in action.
Absolutely.
It's very impressive. So we're just going to bring this camera over here in real time.
Can do that.
Cool.
So this is our P10 product. This is made for the assistive technology market. It's a display with an inbuilt eye tracker here. And I guess you can see the illuminators here, and they are also placed here in the top.
Yep, we can see them.
So this is the eye tracking sensor here.
That's something that you won't see. That's something that only the camera will see, as maybe Charles could tell you.
Well, I only saw a couple blinks just now.
They're not noticeable.
There we go.
For the eye. It's
okay.
Just a camera that picks them up, so it won't distract users.
Sure. Very cool.
Yeah. So this device has an inbuilt computer.
Okay, let's take a look at this device. This is actually your hardware.
This is our hardware. And we have some small quick buttons to adjust the volume and the brightness of the screen. And then there are connectors so that you can connect it to internet and you can hook up some USB devices.
Very cool.
And the good thing is that it's quite easy to mount it on a wheelchair or above your bed or on your table, depending on where the user sits and what you the user would like to do.
Absolutely.
So it's always easy to adapt it to the user's need.
And so theoretically, it could actually be made even smaller in the future,
should
you need to.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
If you need a smaller... most of the space is actually a screen.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you need a large screen for these kind of users. Mm.
All right, so let's see this.
Yeah, so the first thing you do as a user is that you place the eye tracker in front of yourself. So I stand here, and this is something that we call the track status box. So you can see that when I move my head around, the eye tracker follow my eyes. And I can move a little bit to, closer to the device and from the device. I can also blink with my eyes like this, and eye tracker follows me everywhere. And a great thing about our technology is that we have a big track box, which means that you don't need to stand still or sit exactly at the same position in the wheelchair. So if you have a CP diagnosed, you are able to move your head around quite much, which is really great with this technology.
Absolutely. Because it just stays focused on what the eyes are doing.
Yeah. So that is the first thing, so just place yourself or the eye tracker in a good position. The next thing you do is to do a calibration, and that is just like doing a calibration on your Palm Pilot to calibrate your touch screen.
Okay.
So I just follow. Let's do it, and you can see how it works.
Check it out.
So I just follow the dot here. So here are the calibration plots for my left eye and my right eye. And that's it. I need to do the calibration once.
Mm-hmm.
And then the system always know me. I can log into it. If there are different kind of users on the P10, I can easily select myself. And I don't need to recalibrate every time I start using the P10.
Excellent.
So let's see some eye tracking then. I'm going to do... there are three different kind of interaction methods you can use.
Okay.
So the first one is called Dwell. And that is used by people who don't have any possibility to use their hands or move their bodies so that they can control switches or keyboards or joysticks.
Okay.
So that is a timer-based solution. So you just look at an object and then the small timer starts.
Okay.
We will show it to you.
Sure.
And then when that timer expires, the button will automatically be clicked.
Okay.
Then you can, of course, use a normal switch, or you can use your eyes and blink when you would like to activate the control.
Very cool.
So, and of course, you can add more stuff like that later on. I'm going to use Dwell here. Yes. And now you see I move my gaze around here, and you see this dot, it decreases all the time. So
that's where your eyes are looking?
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is a different kind of applications we have implemented on our platform. So this is a web browser. And now I
can activate this functionality, which means that now I'm reading at the bottom of the page, and it will automatically scroll down the page. And if I read to the right,
nice,
it moves around the page according to where I look.
And this just uses the Internet Explorer COM objects.
Okay.
So it's basically a shell on the browser.
Great.
Yeah.
Written in managed code.
Yeah. Of course, the
And then interoperating with IE.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. I love the way it follows your eyes and you scroll.
Yeah, it's really intuitive and easy to use.
Absolutely.
Another feature we have implemented here is the link map. Sometimes it's very hard to actually activate a link when there are several small links placed very closely to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just looking at some of the links here, and then I get these bubbles, and then
nice.
I can just select one of them. So yeah, it's a simple web browser.
Yeah.
We can write some text here, then you will get an on-screen keyboard.
Okay.
So that you can just write here.
Very cool. Great.
So it's very simple, and it's you're up and running very fast.
And all you need are a pair of eyes.
Yeah, or I didn't use my hands at all.
Yeah, or you don't have to wear any special devices or contact lenses.
No.
That's very, very cool. And so what's happening is it's basically, you know, really event-driven. Programming.
Yeah, exactly. And all this is just WinForms,
okay.
which we have kind of skinned or used custom images to draw.
Excellent.
So, event-based. We have a eye control engine, which calculates and makes the events and sends them.
Outstanding. Mm. And so you guys recently won a few awards, huh?
Yeah.
Not surprisingly.
We did.
Technical Achievement Awards.
We talked to our ISV contact here in Sweden, Anders, and he told me about 3 days before the Ingenuity Point contest, this submission date. And he told me just to write something up and send it into them, which we did. We were on a conference that day, so we put the team down and compiled an entry.
Outstanding.
And we actually won it in the healthcare area.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
It's very, very cool.
Really fun. Yeah.
I mean, clearly one of your biggest customers right now are people who have major disabilities.
Yeah.
I mean, so in order to interoperate with Windows or through your software.
Exactly.
That's very cool. And now this runs on XP, and you guys are also getting it going on Vista?
Yeah, we are, at this moment, we are looking into making it work great for Vista.
Cool.
Of course, you can run it on Vista, but we had to do some tweaks and test it.
Sure. UAC?
UAC is being one of the things, the installation.
Sure. You hear that, Chris? That's Chris Corio, a friend over in the UAC world.
All right.
He gets a lot of that feedback.
There's lots of resources on the web, so it's just going through all the things you have to do, I think. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of help.
Absolutely. And so, do you guys have any feedback for the product teams? I mean, how's it been? Visual Studio's been Clearly, you know, if it took you 2 weeks to get up and running, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I had we have good people here.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, just keep doing what you're doing and listen to communities such as Channel 9. Maybe it's I think it's a really good thing that people get to say something, give suggestions, and so on.
Absolutely.
And I can also say that we have got really great connections through our ISV contact here in Stockholm.
Okay.
I know you, Aaron, has had really great email conversations with the developers, the Microsoft developers. So we get great support.
Outstanding.
Which is really good.
Cool.
Yeah, it is.
And you guys are what are called an ISV partner? I mean, is that the program that
you're in?
Yeah, I think
that's
We are one of the managed ISVs.
Okay.
I don't know about the different levels there, but
sure.
We are one of the managed ISVs.
Right, right on. You're managing to do some really innovative stuff.
Yeah, but
so
we get help to do it also. So.
Very cool. Well, hey, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And this is very impressive. And I look forward to playing around with this and seeing where it evolves in terms of machine learning and various other interesting possibilities. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.